You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to the very first ever episode of Wrestling Made Me Cry. My name is Kylie, that is Collins, and we have a vision for this episode and for this show. We have so many things that we are going to do, but first and foremost, we'll introduce ourselves to you. So, Collins, you go first. I'll give you the floor. Yes, you.
Oh, I'm so shy. Well, I'm Collins. Many of you know me as Queer Auntie online. You can see it here. I am based out of the Seattle area. I started watching wrestling with my dad in the early 90s and drifted away, as most people do after the Attitude Era, after you kind of grow up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I came back because of Total Divas. No joke.
Yeah. That's sick.
Well, it's funny because I stopped watching WWE in like 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. And when I went to college in 2008, I started watching TNA because that was the only thing that came in on my tube television in my dorm room. And Kurt Angle, which you can see here,
the man,
favorite wrestler. He was on TNA, and that's where I got to see all these other plethora of wrestlers that I had never been exposed to. But, you know, college life, it's like, oh, I missed an episode because I was studying, or, oh, you know, whatever. But I kept on with it, with on like Reddit, like back in the days with the message boards. And that's how I came back into wrestling, was Total Divas and TNA. And then here I am now, being a total mark for everything that I love about wrestling. But yeah. Oh my goodness. As my dogs will come in and out of the stream, but
we love special guests.
Yeah.
They're invited. They're allowed.
Yeah. They'll come in and jump up here, in the lovely Queer Auntie studio. So, all right.
My Kylie. Turn.
Yeah.
I was also a big TNA fan. I was a big Sting fan. And that is like, we're going to talk about Sting today. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, I'm just another lifelong wrestling fan. I kind of fell out a little bit towards 2008, 2009. Yeah. But like Bullet Club, New Japan, like when they were really in the swing of things, it pulled me back in. I love just bad guys who just don't care about anything. And yeah. I also, listen, Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, I loved him.
Same.
I was obsessed. Obsessed. Same. Disgustingly obsessed. I was like, this is the dude. And then, you know, Finn Balor, also love Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. I will say that. But AJ Styles, I love from TNA. And then, so my love of wrestling is very much rooted in like my strong attachment to wrestlers. And you know what? I'm a mark. I'll admit it. We both admitted it. Well, you know what? Everybody, if you're watching the show, you're probably a mark.
Yeah, you probably are. So welcome to the Mark podcast.
We do have a super chat from Ryan. Speaking of marks, just if you're an OG Tag Talk fan, you probably remember Ryan with his joke. So this is probably might be a recurring thing, but the joke is, why did the orange cry? Someone heard its peelings. That's a good one. Ryan, over the course of Tag Talk's existence, Ryan had some really great jokes and some really bad ones. So like the standard has been raised, like Jason says, you know, quote unquote jokes. But listen, you know, we make do.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah. So that's our little intro. What is this show going to be about? It's basically, we kind of have a vision for it. It's going to be a positive space to talk about wrestling. We're not going to focus on negative things. And I ask that you don't also do that in the chat. We just want positive space to talk about, you know, cool things, things that are like feel good, heartwarming moments, like both in wrestling and in the wrestling fandom. We're just going to have a good time. And you know what? Yeah. I can already tell that this is going to be a good time. Collins and I did an episode of Tag Talk like a year ago or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm-hmm. And the energy is just matched.
You know, it's so funny because I would still get messages like months later of, because we were talking about the bloodline.
Yeah.
Right. I can't believe that that's still a thing, but we were talking about it and it was like, where is this message coming from? And I'd be like, okay, thanks for the information about the bloodline. They were like, I just watched your episode. You know, I'm like, what is happening?
Listen, that was a supreme episode of Tag Talk. You guys should go back and watch it.
Yeah.
You know what? Go watch it. And come back and tell us if our opinions are relevant still.
Don't leave now.
After. You're staying. Everybody, you're here, you're staying. You're just stuck here. That's just how it's going to be. But after that, we've been kind of meaning to do a show together for a long time. Tag Talk ended on good terms. But I was kind of thinking, you know, what is my next project going to be? And it was actually Collins who approached me and they were like, hey, I have a show. And then now here we are. We're doing the show. We're doing the dang thing. And oh boy, is it a good week to start.
Yeah. Honestly, if you are here and you're in this chat, just know that both of us are going to be very honest about the things that we love. I mean, I just want to reiterate that we aren't going to, you know, we're not going to influence you to hate anyone. We're not going to influence any sort of arguments. This is our opinions. And I believe that true emotion is the sole lifeblood of wrestling. So just because one person likes it and you don't, it doesn't invalidate your feelings. But just remember that these are our opinions. And if you want to talk about it, you can talk about it in the comments. So, or the live chat. Thanks everyone for being here at the live chat.
Yes. Thank you to everybody in the live chat. I see a lot of returning faces, which I'm super excited about. So let's get right on into it. I don't know if you guys saw, but AEW had a big show called AEW Revolution. And in the main event of the show, Sting actually retired from wrestling with his sons.
Yeah.
His sons were there and they were also Sting.
They were also Sting. It's the Spider-Man meme. Hey, hey, hey. You know the Spider-Man meme?
Yeah, it was the I don't remember his son's name. I'm going to be completely honest with you. It's all a blur. But the fact that he was wearing his Sting's actual gear.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
The match itself was great. They did splashes. They did like cool father-son moments, all that stuff. Well, I know their names are Steven and Garrett. I don't know which one is Steven and which one is Garrett, guys.
Garrett is the Surfer Sting and Steven was Wolfpack Sting.
There we go. Well, listen, when they came out on the stage, I thought for a second that it was actually Sting, like real Sting. And I was like, oh my, he's doing a throwback. I was like, that's so cute for your final match. No, it was his son, which I think is somewhat better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so cute.
We saw glimpses of his son supporting him weeks ago on AEW Dynamite. They were in the front, which wrestling Twitter thirsted after them, which rightfully so. But just seeing them support their dad through everything. And we've seen a plethora of like iconic wrestlers and offspring. And sometimes they're not exactly like supportive of their parents' endeavors. A lot of them do have gripes to say, or, you know, my dad was never there, or he was absent, or he kind of was like a really ishy father. But the things that they say about their dad is just, I mean, I don't know if it's just press. I mean, everybody has issues with their parents, but the way that they speak about him was really honest and heartwarming. And I feel like we all kind of felt that feeling too with them. So just seeing them be like really good people is like a testament to how Sting and his ex-wife co-parent or whatever. So
I also think sometimes wrestlers, when their kids show an interest in wrestling, they kind of push it away. And I think that's a product of, an older era where wrestling was a lot more rough and tumble and dangerous for you personally as a human than it is now. So it was really nice to see Sting sort of invite his sons into that moment. And as a dad, he wants his sons to be there, but wanting them to actually participate. And the Young Bucks were perfect for this. They were just annoying and obnoxious and really allowed Sting and his sons to take the forefront, which they should have. It was his retirement match. Also, Darby was there.
Yeah. Darby was there. Yeah. Could we forget the ladder spot? Jeez.
There was a lot of discourse about the spot. Well, one thing I'll say is I thought it was a great testament to Darby's respect for Sting.
Yeah.
That he would take that spot, which is going to be sort of immortalized forever, I think. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that's just so Darby. Like, how do I show Sting that I'm like respectful? Like, I respect him and I love him. I'm going to destroy myself.
Heights? Do you like heights?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with heights, but I'm not going to jump off a ladder that tall. let alone through glass.
Yeah, let alone through glass. Yeah, that's where I kind of was like, I don't think this is, I could not do this with my body. You can, and you can be paid for it handsomely in an immortalized moment, because we are going to look back at those messages, or the, you know, the history of Sting being stamped and earmarked in his retirement. So many other retirement matches did not contain your tag partner going through glass.
Yeah.
Or multiple tables. Sting going through multiple tables. I screamed so loud through like the glass spot. Like even Sting going through glass, like, sir, are you okay? What is happening? What is happening?
What I really loved about Sting's AW run is that he never, even though he could have relied on Darby for those big moments and to do all of that, he always wanted it for himself, and he wanted to add value to the matches that he was a part of. He didn't want to just be sort of the dude next to Darby, if that makes sense. So I really respect that. I think Sting's AW run in general was as perfect as it could have gone. Some hiccups at the end with some certain people that were involved. But I think this match, the Young Bucks were perfect for it. I think Sting and his sons really shined. And then after that really sweet moment where, you know, Sting is with his sons in the ring and the locker room comes out and Tony's there. And it was just, I'm not going to lie, guys, I cried.
I don't think I stopped crying from the time his sons came out, because that was such a special moment, to like all through the match of just screaming. But it was so good. It was so good. And you could tell how much Tony Khan really appreciated Sting for choosing this place to be his retirement. So.
Yeah. And I really, and I said this a couple times on Twitter. There's something so heartwarming and like reassuring to see a wrestler go out on their own terms instead of, you know, what we're so used to, the retirement from it because of injury, you know, the unfortunate, you know, people pass away or something really awful happened and things like that, where they're kind of, their career's just abruptly done. And I really appreciated that. Not only did we get this great retirement match with Sting, we had this long build up to that match where Sting and Darby were tag team and they won the titles and they were champions. And Sting was everywhere, and there were the video package with Sting in the theater. Oh,
sobbed. I don't think I stopped sobbing since the previous Wednesday when they started all of that going on. Ugh.
Sting is just such a unique performer. There's no one really in wrestling who has ever been like Sting, as versatile as Sting, as, you know, as a character, also just someone who's just so kind. Like I've never heard anybody, and maybe someone in the chat knows, but anybody who said a bad thing about Sting.
Right.
And like an AEW, it's been like Sting is so helpful. He wants to be involved. That's the kind of veteran that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, when he was talking in the press conference as well, at the end of going, you know, he was paired with the Ultimate Warrior and they were great for the time, but, you know, I wanted to do things on my terms. He didn't want to keep doing drugs. He didn't want to keep doing the roided out stuff. He was true and genuine to himself. And I think that says a lot about his character, because we don't unfortunately see that a lot in wrestling, is that people actually give a hoot about themselves and about others. So, I mean, Bubba, you want to come in?
Ooh, do we have a special guest?
Oh, he stood at the door and he left. He's my dobby-eared little boy.
It's like, I'll come back when they talk about Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason in the chat says the fact that they had a politic for Sting to win is such an amazing thing. Yeah, I think it was the right choice having Sting to win, because you do get that moment where he's going out on top. And I think it's great for Darby. And I didn't want his final, you know, appearance in the ring to be the Young Bucks celebrating and he's just sad or whatever. So I do think
that's a very WWE kind of thing. And that's not something that we find in AEW.
Yeah. And I think that Sting, of anybody, really deserves to go out on a high, because I have no doubt in my mind that they could have prolonged Sting's career.
Absolutely.
This was very much, and he talked about this in the press conference, and this was very much like a personal decision. This was his choice. And so, you know, thoughts about vacating the titles and having a tournament aside, Sting and Darby winning, I think, was the right choice. And I think it really says a lot about the era of wrestling that we're in.
Yeah.
That one, a guy can be as, not that Sting's ancient or anything, guys, as old as Sting. And yeah. Be bodily and mentally healthy and be able to do things like that and know when to call it quits and not run their body into the ground and sort of have that experience. And also that we're not in an era of wrestling where the vast majority of wrestlers are struggling with, you know, substance abuse and that kind of stuff. So I personally really enjoyed the match. I really enjoyed Sting's retirement run. I'm going to miss him desperately though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that him and Tony can strike a deal of some sort, having him as a backstage, something or whatever, because I do think that it is valuable, the knowledge that he has and the presence that he can give to, there's a lot of young talent back there in the locker room. So if I could do anything to learn from any wrestler, he would be a huge wrestler that I'd want to learn more than just wrestling moves, you know?
Yeah, and he's been everywhere. He's done so many things. There's so many iterations of Sting. He's been done, exhausted, like, every avenue of character work. And I really do think the Sting and Darby pairing did wonders for Darby as a performer. I think the way Darby talks, the way he presents himself is so much better than it was before Sting. So I think Sting... Yeah. I don't know if he's staying with AW, guys. I really have no idea. But I think Tony Khan would be silly not to want Sting to be not only backstage, but have a voice in like creative and Absolutely. Have a voice with, you know, training and all that kind of stuff that they do in the ring. I have so much respect for Sting. I have a Sting.
I almost changed up my tattoo yesterday, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I should get a scorpion.
Yeah, I'll send you this exact scorpion.
Send it to me. I'll go get it.
Yeah, a group of us over Revolution weekend. It's a crazy story. If you guys want to hear the story, I'll tell it at another time. But we ended up getting those, and
I love it.
And also, could I just say, thinking about Sting and Darby and the Young Bucks, and thinking about just Revolution in general, the AEW roster. Low key, I think this might be the best wrestling roster like ever.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely crazy. It's crazy. There's like no one on that roster in any division that I think is lacking.
I mean, I think also doing a tag tournament, and this is how I predicted it, which if you don't know, I do predictions. I host like a little fun predictions. You can win prizes. It's kind of fun. But that was my thinking of like, what do we need to do? We really need to reignite the tag division in AEW, get new singles wrestlers together, because I love those kinds of things. Put them together. Why not? And get them on television. Get them in this tournament. I mean, I do a post show for Ring of Honor, and we talk about so many of those tag teams over on Ring of Honor. Bring them over to AEW. Showcase some of this talent, because there is so much tag team talent. And I love tag team wrestling. So,
brief pause. K-Rob says a super chat. Thank you for the super chat. It says, being a little Stinger raised on WCW growing up and seeing him debut live for WWE in 2014 to his retirement was so cool and a full circle moment. So 100%. And that's like, I'm glad that you said that, because I think so many of us, we grew up with Sting. Like Sting Absolutely. Has always been there. If you've been a wrestling fan, even if you only watch WWE or you only watch whatever, like, you know of Sting because he is so influential across wrestling. Mm-hmm. So for like, it's a full circle moment for Sting and his career, but it's also a full circle moment for us. So like, guys, we're getting older. And all my faves are retiring.
No. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, my dad and I, you know, did watch some wrestling, you know, as a kid. And it's so cool to see the wrestlers that I was like, oh, this guy, I loved anyone who had face paint. Like that was my thing of like, I love the face paint. I loved it. So him being Surfer Sting. And then I didn't watch WCW, and I was really sad, like realizing in hindsight, like I miss his whole WCW career. So when I started watching TNA, I'm like, oh my God, it's Sting.
I was also a big TNA fan, mostly mm-hmm. because the cable accessibility of where I've lived, we could get, mm-hmm. I think we could get Raw, we could get ECW, and we could get TNA. Maybe it was SmackDown. We could get SmackDown or something.
Yeah, we could get SmackDown too, but I couldn't get Raw.
I think it might've been that then we couldn't mm-hmm. get Raw, but I was a big ECW fan. And mm-hmm. even WWE, ECW, for whatever reason, I really loved it. And also, I lived in like a really rural area. And some mm-hmm. of the only wrestling toys that you could get in the store were TNA.
Yeah.
Which was, mm-hmm. I had a TNA ring. I had TNA figures. I don't know what was up with that. WWE was just like not there.
Yeah.
A big TNA fan. And Jason has a question, and I think it's funny. So we're going to read it. Jason says, curious on your thoughts, ladies, if Kyle teams with Abe Lincoln's wrestling trainer, Bob Fish, for the tournament.
<I'm sorry. laughs> Any Bobby Fish jokes? Put him here.
I saw Abe Lincoln out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, what is this? If Bobby Fish wants to come back to AW, I'm not going to turn him away.
Absolutely.
For the means of lie.
Where's the lie?
Listen, we're talking veterans backstage. There's no more long-term veteran than Bobby Fish. There's no one alive in wrestling who's done it for hundreds of years like Bobby Fish.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Coriant provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Coriant has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Coriant has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Coriant has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale. For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Listen, if he wants to come back, he's welcome.
Yeah, always. Give me that Undisputed Era. I hear he's bald now. Whoa, so like, where's the hair? Oh my God.
Has Bobby, listen, this is going to sound really bad, but has Bobby Fish, is he wrestling still? Like, is he still committed to being that singles guy? I don't know.
I don't know.
But Tony Khan should call him up.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, they're doing this whole Undisputed Kingdom angle, and he's bald in MLW.
Oh.
I didn't know he was bald. I knew he was doing stuff at MLW. I didn't know he was bald.
Oh, no. I feel like I need to see a picture of it.
Yeah. You find a picture and I'll give you my discussion about Bobby Fish. But listen, I've never been a Bobby Fish hater. I loved Undisputed Era. I loved everything he did in AEW. And then, you know, his short, teeny, tiny little stint in Impact, which is now TNA. but where's the lie? You know, like Bobby Fish, I think is, he is bald.
Oh my God.
Why is everybody bald all of a sudden?
He looks like Robert now. He doesn't look like Bobby.
Oh my goodness.
Sir.
Put a baseball cap on him and he'll be Bobby.
It has to be backwards. Oh my God.
A backward baseball cap. Why is everybody bald all of a sudden?
No, stop
do,
it.
Do you also feel like people are shaving their heads at a weird rate?
I don't. There was something in the water because I wanted to shave my head.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't, listen, obviously.
I think you could pull it off.
That's a lot of confidence in me.
Well, if you didn't like it, you could always wear a wig.
I mean, that's true. I have a plethora of those. But so one thing about me, if you didn't know, I've had 4 concussions in my life. So I have some dents in my skull.
Hmm.
My first concussion, I was in 2nd grade and I fell down a flight of stairs. So, you know, I started off young, you know, but I've been told that if I get knocked out like that, like I'm more susceptible to getting concussions. So goodbye, wrestling career.
I in 2nd grade, I hit my head on a table and I have like a little dent ridge situation.
I don't know why
here.
I'm feeling my head. Oh gosh, I wouldn't have ever known.
Yeah, I was running in the classroom and I like tripped over, you know, the rugs that they had like little, the numbers on them.
Yeah.
I tripped over it and I flew into like the kidney table with the reading table.
Oh.
And then I got a concussion like 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
I smacked the back of my head on a concrete wall on accident.
On accident? Oh no.
Yeah. Well, so like there was chairs against the wall and we were listening to something. I don't remember what it was, a song. And I just like headbanged and like cracked. So listen, concussion squad. Maybe that's why we cry a lot.
Yeah. It's because I'm not mentally all there. It makes sense. In 4th grade, I was riding a bike without a helmet. And I hit the curb. I was not supposed. This is how deeply rooted my family's suspicion of the Latter-day Saints church was, because I thought that they recruited that's a conspiracy. Anyways, so I wasn't supposed to ride my bike any further than Latter-day Saints church, which was like a block over.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, because they had the best like parking lot, because it was like flat and then it had like a raised part, so when you like went up, it was kind of fun, you know. But I went up, I popped a wheelie, and the bar, I remember it hitting me in the face and I fell back, and I don't remember anything for the rest of the school year. Like those memories are gone. Like I don't know what happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my mom said that they had to take me to the hospital. They kept trying to, like, you know, keep me awake so I wouldn't slip into a coma. It explains a lot about me. But, like, right after that, I got diagnosed with ADHD. So,
listen,
trauma. trauma brain. Anyways, I shared so much of my medical history on this first episode.
You know, but you know what? I feel like it's really bringing us closer to our audience. I feel like, listen, they're sharing stories in the chat of their own brain trauma.
Listen, I'm into it. This chat is so active over here. Is it over here? Yeah, it's over here.
Listen, I really appreciate all of you guys. If you want more stories of us hurting ourselves as children, I have more. But
oh, but yeah, I absolutely. So we were talking about Sting and in TNA and all the things, right?
Yes. And I think, listen, I think the Sting, the high of Sting at the end of the show, the only thing on that show, and this is going to sound, people are going to be like, well, Will Ospreay wrestled Takeshita on the show, so how could you say that? For me, the second biggest high was Kyle O'Reilly's return.
Oh my God.
I lost my mind. One, because I think Kyle O'Reilly is someone who I think it was Sean who talked about AEW didn't know if they were actually going to get him back.
It was on Fightful Select. I have it in my notes.
Yeah. And like, he didn't know if he was ever going to be able to wrestle again. And like, that is so scary when you've, especially, and I think it's an experience a lot of people can't really relate to, because a lot of jobs are so much based on, you know, your mental abilities, like your knowledge, all that kind of stuff. But when you're in a sport or like a physical job, like I would even put like blue collar jobs as part of this, when your body is like your job, when your body like isn't doing what it needs to do for you to do your job and live your dreams, like that is so scary. So the fact that Kyle O'Reilly is back, and the fact that he's not only back, one, his hair looks great.
Yeah. So great. Hair.
Yeah. So good. And also they didn't immediately put him into the Undisputed Kingdom.
Right?
Oh, so interesting.
It means that there's a storyline. I love stories. Give me stories. Hello.
So if you didn't see Revolution, basically Kyle O'Reilly returns and he's shaking hands with the Undisputed Kingdom. He's hugging, like, hi, buddy, buddy. And they have a t-shirt, an Undisputed Kingdom t-shirt. And they want their friend Kyle in Undisputed Kingdom. He's just kind of like, nah. And they just like walked out of the ring. Just
hands it back to him.
Like, he's like, no. Like, I'm cool, guys. I'm so ready. I don't know like when he's going to be back in the ring, if it's going to be sometime soon or if he's coming back early to build the story or, you know, what have you. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But this was a great return.
So we've had a lot of wrestlers, like the most common wrestling injury, right, is the knees, right? So lots of wrestlers have knee issues. We're seeing now more wrestlers having neck issues, right? So Brian Danielson having neck issues, Edge/Adam Copeland having neck issues, Soraya. But Kyle O'Reilly having I don't know when I'm coming back. And it had shades of when Edge retired, which when Adam Copeland retired in 2011, it was one of those episodes that I don't care what I'm doing. The Raw after Mania, right? You don't care. Everybody's watching it. I don't care. I put it up on the big screen TV in the middle of my dorm and everyone was yelling at me. But when he retired for neck stuff, it's like, that's it. Everything that you've trained your whole life, your whole body, the thing that makes money is gone. And when we heard that Kyle's issues were neck, I'm thinking, there goes his entire career. Everything that he's done in Ring of Honor, in NXT, in AEW, there was so much potential, so much that could have happened. And it's all cut short, because with neck stuff, it could be serious or it could not be serious, or it could be, we don't know. So seeing him come back like a year and a half later, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
I scrumped like when he slithered into the ring, like Kyle O'Reilly does. I was so emotional again, crying during this pay-per-view. He's wearing a Bull Nakano shirt. Like,
he just
get emotional now.
Yeah, he just deserves it. Like, there's very few wrestlers who, like, I think, because I'm always someone who I always encourage people to be cautious. And when you have mm-hmm. a neck, anything like neck, head, or spine, like, you should probably, like, not wrestle again. Like, you should probably be very, very cautious. And I think a lot of wrestlers think that way, too, because you mentioned Edge, you know, Saraya, you know, Bryan Danielson, all these people. There's such long gaps from when they mm-hmm. are forced to retire to when they return. So if anybody deserves to have a short gap and to come back to like such big praise from fans and like have this big moment and all this kind of stuff, it's Kyle O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that they didn't immediately shovel him into Undisputed Kingdom, because not that I think that that would have been a bad thing, but I think he would have kind of faded to the back when there's, you know, Roddy is international champion. Adam Cole is there mm-hmm. whenever he's coming back. I have no idea. And then, of course, you have, you know, Taven and Bennett. And mm-hmm. so where does Kyle O'Reilly fit? Well, Kyle O'Reilly fits outside of the Undisputed Kingdom. And I'm really excited to see him kind of do his own thing. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to end up wrestling Roddy probably at some point.
I am so excited. Yeah.
And I.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Wardlow. We can't forget that Wardlow is also in the Undisputed Kingdom.
Listen, I'm sorry, Wardlow. I'm sorry.
Wow, how dare you?
He's also someone who, like, I feel like is on the side of
right.
Undisputed Kingdom. He's very much, and I don't know if this is a story they're telling or if it's me reading into it, it very much feels like he's being used. Like, he's just, it's MJF all over muscle. Again. Yeah, he's just being used. He's not being Wardlow. So I don't know. To rehab Wardlow, they kind of gotta beat up Adam Cole. I'm gonna be honest. Whenever Adam Cole is ready.
Wheelchair.
Beat him up in the wheelchair. Push him over. I don't know. He can protect his leg while they do that somehow.
I love violence.
But I do think that Kyle, I don't know if Roddy is going to be, you know, the immediate thing they jump into, or if he's going to do other stuff first. I have no idea. But I do think there's a lot of things and a lot of matches that Kyle needs to have. And I think if they play it, if AEW plays it right and they really give in the effort, like, fans are so behind Kyle right now. He's an underdog. Everybody roots for the guy who, you know, was almost forced to retire. And yeah. I tweeted this, like, he needs the full Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson treatment. Like, he needs to be able to go out there and put his heart and his soul out there for people and mm-hmm. be that baby face that people are so glad is back, and just have all the matches he wants, all the stories he wants, the whole thing, because he almost would have never gotten that.
Right. And like, I mean, if you were watching NXT during that time when Adam Cole was champ and he was having those matches against Kyle O'Reilly, I feel like there could have been more that could have come out, right? We want more. And it's not that I think that NXT censored or held back wrestlers, but I do think that this feud that we know is still, they're still burning inside. It's gonna make money. So
I what I really love about all of the except for Bobby. Poor Bobby Fish. What I really love about Undisputed Era being at AEW, poor Bobby, is that a lot of these stories from NXT have just, it's a smooth transition over to AEW.
Yeah.
Kyle and Adam Cole, that rivalry was so great. And I think it really carried NXT in a period where it was like not great. And I think about that one. listen, when they were feeding everybody to Karrion Kross, I think we can agree that it was like not great. And Jason says that I'm anti-bald. I'm not anti-bald. Did you just miss the part where, oh, whatever. Okay. I'm not anti-bald.
I mean, I'm clearly not anti-bald because, you know, in a couple of weeks, I'm marrying someone who is bald. And we stan, you know, Epifonte over here.
Yeah. So call me anti-bald.
Yeah.
I love Claudio.
Yeah.
I love Bennett. I love... Who else is bald? John FTR? Silver.
Dax Hardwood. Hardwood. I keep saying Hardwood. I don't know why.
That should have been his name. Hardwood. I love Hyman Miller. That's so true, Ace.
Oh.
Listen, call me anti-bald. I'm not anti-bald. But yeah.
You're the bald bitch.
Yeah, if anybody has a theory about why all of a sudden everybody is bald, when Mike Bennett put up that picture of him with the facial hair, I scrolled past it on Twitter and he looks like Claudio. He looks just like Claudio Castagnoli. I was shocked.
The only difference is their legs.
Yeah. We had listed, any of you could build a whole faction of bald people. So many bald white guys. There's so many of them.
I'm kind of into it.
Listen, if you're bald and you're rocking the bald head, listen, more power to you.
Yeah. You know, when you're bald, you have to put sunscreen on your head, otherwise you're gonna have a sunburnt head.
You do?
Right? Yeah.
Oh my god.
You live in the land of the sunshine, do you not see bald people with sunburns on their head?
No, but I guess it's probably because they're wearing sunscreen.
Have you ever gotten a sunburn in your part? That's the worst. That's the first time I ever went to, when I went to Harry Potter World, I didn't think that I would get a sunburn. And I was wearing like pigtails.
Yeah.
So I got it all the way down my head. It's a sunburn.
I always get sunburn on my eyelids and the tops of my ears.
Oh my gosh. So you can't see my eyelids because I have a hooded eye. So I guess that protects me. So
mine are like a little bit hooded, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to learn your anatomy in that way. But
yeah, everybody in the chat, wear your sunscreen.
Yeah.
Like every day. Just don't let your skin touch the sun.
Yeah, you don't want to be a wrinkly bald bitch, you know?
And also, like, you don't want to get skin cancer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's not something I should laugh at. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everyone who has skin cancer. I'm sorry.
I'm always, now we're talking about skin cancer, but I'm always so paranoid about it because I do have a lot of like freckles and, you know, moles on my body. So I'm always like looking at them, checking like, do you look different today? Like, no, I don't have skin cancer, guys.
I just got all of mine checked and we're good.
So. Nice. Be proactive, guys. Mm-hmm. We are giving life advice on this show. This is exactly what I thought it would be. It's just high, good time community.
I know. I love it.
Listen, guys, be careful with your brain and your neck and your spine and wear sunscreen.
Yeah. If you agree, like this video. We need to keep all the likes here. Come on. Like, share, subscribe to Fightful Overbooked.
Do all the things. And I do live in Florida. And I do wear my sunscreen. I don't know if you could tell. It is very bright outside. My blinds are closed, but this is just like the life that I live now. It's just bright all the time. Oh, hey. I've also been sunburnt in my eyes.
In your eyes? Yeah. That's possible.
Yeah, because when you go to the beach and the sun reflects off the water and the sand straight into your eyes, you can get like burns in them.
Do you not wear sunglasses?
I do, but like you get tan lines. You gotta take them off. I never said that I was smart, okay?
Although Although I have been that person that gets the, because I wear the oversized ones, so I'll get. But it's fine. Rather have that than a burned eye.
You know what? I'm feeling judged a lot right now.
Every time I see you, I'm just going to hand you sunglasses. Hey, Kylie, I picked these up at the airport for you.
The only pair of sunglasses I own are a pair that a friend left at my house, and I took them from him. And now they're just mine.
Oh, I mean, that's true. That is, I mean, if it, they're called abandoned property after a certain amount of days.
Yeah, Jason. Jason says, apologize to Kylie. Haley was the one who mocked Nick Jackson's hairline. Yeah. I was never me.
Yeah.
Thank you for your apology, though. I don't hate bald people. I'm not anti-bald.
Yeah, we're not anti-bald here.
If anything, I think there should be more bald people. We should embrace it.
More hair versus hair matches. That's what I want.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my god, Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole in a hair versus hair match.
Oh my god, either of them have fantastic hair. I don't
so good.
I can't imagine Adam Cole bald. No, I don't want it.
Someone needs to go on Twitter and find someone who will make us an edit of a bald Adam Cole. That's your mission for the week. That's your homework.
That might be my sleep paralysis demon. I don't know.
I'm like trying to picture it. All I can picture is Mike Bennett.
There's your tech team of all bald people. Just get Matt Taven on board. Come on.
They can all shave. Oh my God. Even Wardlow. They can all shave.
I mean, he's already done it, right? He already had his little Samson, you know, moment, right?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, more hair versus hair matches. Someone in AEW needs to go make that happen for us. There's so many people with such great heads of hair.
Jack Perry.
He's in New Japan, but listen, Jack Perry, when he comes back to AEW, he's going to be the dude.
I'm totally down. I am so into it.
I love his little goat head that he's been wearing. I love him.
I love it. I love it. That's what we want for wrestlers, though. That's what we want, is to go, okay, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something.
Oh, I thought you were going to say goat heads.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, more goats. Yeah.
No, branching out, doing other things. Yes. Oh my God.
I think he's being a heel, and like for obvious reasons because of things that happened, but I think it's such a far cry from Jungle Boy, like with the waving the arms with Luchasaurus and all that. I'm excited to see him kind of branch out and be Jack Perry and not be Jungle Boy. So I'm excited about it. I like, yeah, he did join House of Torture, which I have thoughts about, but that's for a different
that's
show,
a different probably. Episode
yeah
or something.
I love the scapegoat gimmick. I love the goat head. I love him being in Japan because I think he'll learn a lot as a wrestler.
Yeah.
And I think New Japan is really good about the young guys being good in the ring and performing to that level. So I'm excited whenever he comes back to AW. I don't know when it's going to be, if at all. I'm excited to see him be scapegoat Jack Perry in AEW. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to come back and be Jungle Boy again.
Whoa.
I'm wrong, but
my whole thing, you know, that I've seen criticisms of Jack Perry is that he doesn't have a personality, that he can't do this, he can't do, and I'm like, have you let him speak? Because that's the thing that I'm noticing, that the way that he's speaking is so, he has this character now, and this is the thing. And it's very, it's instead of all over the place of, I don't know what he is, to, oh, this is intentional. And if you are an intentional wrestler, I want to watch you. I want to give you my money. I want to give you my views. I want to talk about you on podcasts and cry about it. Be an intentional wrestler. Be an intentional person, because that's what we want, is people being intentional and being excited and emotional. Be intentional. And this is life advice from your auntie. Be intentional about your friends and the people around you, because if you're just going through life being vague, you're not invited to the party.
Period. That's good life advice. This is the show of life advice, and I'm kind of into it. Like, every week we're just going to have more life advice for you guys.
Absolutely.
But I do think that not to completely derail us from talking about the WWE Hall of Fame, but I do think that the Christian feud and the Christian story that Jack Perry had, I think it really did push him, like push the bounds of his character and what he wanted to do as a wrestler. I think he really found himself, mm-hmm. because he's also someone who was in wrestling young, like super, super young. And I think him in AEW over the last 5 years, like those are 5 years of your life where you really do become a man, and like you learn who you are as an adult and as a human being, and you know, the relationships that you want, all that kind of stuff. So can I just say, I am so for AEW sending more people to Japan to just be in Japan for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Like, Japan does excursions. And I think that's a great system. I think it works really well. And so I would love to see AEW do more. Like, there's so many young people in AEW that they could just, oh my God, we have a special guest.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh my goodness.
Here. You want to come up? Oh, sorry. Oh, that's awkward.
Ugh. Oh my goodness.
This is my Penny Lane ham sandwich. You've all have seen her online.
Hello. I want to squeeze.
She smells like Fritos all the time.
That's how you know it's a good dog.
That's how you know. Everybody in the chat, say hi to Penny Lane ham sandwich.
Oh my goodness. I need a dog.
You do need a dog.
I don't have any. I haven't had a dog in years. I need one.
Okay. Mom's going to keep talking, all right?
Here
you go. You want this? There you go. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I love dogs, guys. I also love, you know, the big dog Roman Reigns, but...
Oh.
Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, I'm ambivalent on, but back to the topic at hand. I love Jack Perry. House of Torture, I'm kind of on. I don't hate them. Like, a lot of people hate them. They're just kind of there for me. But yeah, I'm excited about the potential. And also, I think it would kind of get Ring of Honor out of the space where it's like the place where whoever they don't have room for an AW goes. And then occasionally like a star pops in, like Eddie Kingston, and then disappears. If you could just send them to Japan or even like to Mexico, like they have these partnerships in Mexico.
Yeah. Like those partnerships are, I mean, I love Lucha. I love all these CMLL wrestlers that are making their way, even just to appear on AEW or in a scramble or some sort of thing. Show me what you can do with that body, because I just, that sounded really, show me what you can do with that body. Make that money. Entertain me. That's what you're here for. I want to be entertained. Flip, do the things, because some of these guys do things with their body that I couldn't even dream about. Hello. And if I wanted to learn how to do that, no better place to go.
Yeah. And the American lucha scene is really good. And I'm not saying it's not. But when you watch guys who are in Mexico and they're like completely immersed in lucha libre and they're in these promotions like CMLL or AAA or what have you, like they get so creative and inventive with the spots that they do. Mm-hmm. And it's insane. And so when, like, at the beginning of AW, when, like, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and Sammy Guevara and, like, all those guys, they went to AAA and they did stuff there. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then we haven't gotten all that much of that way, but a lot of the guys from Mexico, from AAA and at CMLL, have come to AW, and it's been really, really fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen for... not the first time, but like the second or the third time, because I don't have that much time to watch a lot of wrestling from Mexico. Like, I kind of have to go out of my way to find it. So I'm excited about it. Also, Chris with a super chat, he says, hello, daughter and auntie. Hello, Chris. Hello, dad. People who don't know that Chris is my dad joke are going to be so confused. Chris has been my internet dad for, I think, like 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
He's also, as Jason implies in the chat, he's also Bleacher Report technical support. So if you have issues, you should DM him on Twitter.
Oh, good to know. Good to know.
But listen, he's my internet dad. I think what started the joke was a quiz, and it was like, which are your Twitter followers? Is your family? And he was like, we barely knew each other. And it was like, this is your dad. And so that was just my dad.
That's your dad.
And now we know each other a lot, and it's been a great time.
We have a growing family tree over here. So
we do. We have dad Chris Mueller over here. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, we have auntie, we have me. Yeah, I don't know what I am.
You're my niece.
I'm the niece.
Everybody is my niece, nephew, or nibbling. Because that's the gender neutral term for anyone.
I'll be a nibbling.
Yeah, you're a nibbling.
I love that for me. Jason starting the beef with Chris in the chat. Thanks for stealing my jokes during tag talk. What?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Unresolved tag talk beef playing out on Wrestling Made Me Cry.
Please keep talking in the chat. Keep going.
Have a therapy moment. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame. You guys just have your little moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to therapy. WWE has announced some of the Hall of Fame inductees for this year's class. And what a group that it is. And listen. Not that people who were in the Hall of Fame before didn't deserve it, because they all do. You get inducted in the Hall of Fame, you deserve it, whatever. But like,
heard it here.
This to me, like this group, it feels a lot like the sort of the unsung heroes of wrestling, like real pioneers in wrestling, not just WWE guys who won a lot of titles and what have you.
Right.
Well, except for Paul Heyman.
Well, it's in Philadelphia, so that's the birth of ECW. I think it's logical. Let's go, Paul Heyman being inducted. I mean, he's done so much, although, you know, sometimes I wonder if he really is the way that he is on television, if he's the same way in real life.
He's such like a mysterious character because even when he was going to conventions and things like that and doing panels and Q&As and, you know, what have you, he still very much is Paul Heyman. Like, he's very much the Paul Heyman character. Like, even when he's talking about, like, behind the scenes, like, kayfabe breaking stuff, he's still Paul Heyman. So sure. I don't know. But I do think Paul Heyman as a speaker, like as a mouthpiece, I think that he carries a lot of the creative weight of a lot of things in WWE, including the Bloodline. I think not that the, oh my goodness, I don't want to invite the she hates the Bloodline AW shill.
This is a positive podcast, right?
Yeah, I think that the bloodline is where it is, and I think Roman is where he is, and like is successful as a heel, a large part because of Paul Heyman.
Absolutely.
And I think people, not just in WWE, ECW, like all this kind of stuff, Paul Heyman has always been one of the biggest creative minds in wrestling. And so him being in the Hall of Fame, I think is really well deserved. So I don't remember who it was, but someone was saying it's a little premature. Like he's not really retired, blah, blah, blah. Like Paul Heyman should have been in the Hall of Fame like 10 years ago.
Right. Like, absolutely.
If anything, we're late. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Like,
yeah.
Paul, do you think about like iconic managers or iconic like mouthpieces? I think Paul Heyman, I think Paul Bearer. I think these guys who are like so eccentric and like so just, they give it all 100%. And I think Paul Heyman is one of those guys. So shout out to Paul. Are you like that in real life? Let me know.
Yeah. Let me meet you.
Yeah. Come on the show, Paul. We'd love to have you. We'll pick your brain about wrestling. but there were also, sorry, I'm just catching up on the therapy chat.
y'all are having fun. I love it.
The U.S. Express is
getting in the
Hall of Fame. This is U.S. Express is a tag team. It's Mike Rotunda and it's Barry Windham. I know, Collins, you have thoughts on this.
I have lots of thoughts. So obviously, you know, they are a two-time WWF tag team champion. They are icons in this space. Barry Windham, we know, is the father of Bo Dallas and the late Bray Wyatt. So I know that he's already been in the Hall of Fame with the Four Horsemen, but the just the tag team itself with Mike Rotunda is just I'm sorry, I can't really like put into words the feeling that I have towards something that was so loved by much older people in the realm of wrestling, much, much more seasoned people who have had that history to, you know, these territories where people really took them personal. Like they were their personal icons. They were their personal Hall of Famers. And the video that Triple H shared this week, having their live reaction brought me to freaking tears. And this is why I wanted to bring it up, because it is so well deserved. Mike Rotunda is not in the Hall of Fame so having them together through so much during that time, especially with NWA and becoming a tag team together, I just it brings out that emotion of like finally your hard work is being recognized and immortalized in this Hall of Fame. Is there any more recognized Hall of Fame in wrestling than the WWE Wrestling Hall of Fame? I mean, you do have the other promotions. It is recognized, but you know, this is a huge honor. Wait, somebody in the chat is telling me that Mike Rotunda is the father of Bray Wyatt. Oh, he's the nephew. No. I got it wrong. Okay, you can slay me in the chat as being too young. Oh my God. So Barry is the uncle. And I remember that what was it, a couple years ago, they were trying to, weren't they trying to raise money for him to get an operation? Hmm. And they were using GoFundMe. And I remember doing that. And that was his uncle. So that's Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt's uncle. And Mike Rotunda is their father. So it is long overdue. I'm interested to see who is going to do the induction. And I know that it will be heavy because Bray is, you know, no longer with us. So it just mattered to me. And I know not a lot of people are speaking about it because it is a previous generation, right? You know, it's not.
Yeah. And I feel like as we get further and further from the 80s and like the early 90s, I think the memory of like in wrestling community, I think like our collective memory of that time kind of fades, especially among young people. And I think at least for when it comes to like WWE, WWF stuff, like the importance of these people, not that it fades, but I think people forget how important they were. Because like if the guys in the 80s don't do what they do in the 80s and the 90s, then mm-hmm. wrestling doesn't survive 2000.
Absolutely.
Like, and it doesn't survive the rough period of the early 2000s and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So like people like this, when the WWF is expanding, you know, ethics of it aside, guys, we're not going to have a business ethics discussion, but if they aren't there working their asses off and putting up with a lot of BS and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, then WWE doesn't make it. It really Absolutely. Doesn't. And so I love that in this class, with the US Express, with Bull Nakano, that like we're really looking at pioneers and like mm-hmm. not just these like multiple time WWE champion, like he's 15 time world champion or whatever, like the typical, the easy ones who get inducted, yeah. you know, the Stone Colds of the world. We're really looking like who was the backbone of WWF, WWE, ECW, whatever. And they're really pulling out some great ones. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. And I don't know if this is like a Triple H thing, if like Triple H is thinking about it in this way, but I do think all of these are overdue.
Absolutely.
Like I mean,
it's also to note that Mike Rotunda also had many other gimmicks. Mm-hmm. So many other things have been long overdue. So the fact that he hasn't been inducted yet is, you know, kind of what crazy. Are we doing?
Yeah.
A lot of people remember IRS. So I appreciate the chat over here mentioning that. But I don't know. It's one of those things that it's nostalgia for me, but I was a baby. So, you know, watching VHSs because we didn't have cable, or, you know, I grew up in a poor household. So it was just a lot of reruns, a lot of, you know, old things. And I just remember specifically the US Express being a prominent tag team in these old videotapes that were in my house. So seeing them get their notoriety, seeing them just be something honored in this way is just really, it's cry worthy. It's that good cry, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting and also like kind of surreal for me because US Express was really active in Florida in the early 80s. Yeah. And so it's kind of wild because I've always heard stories from like my dad and his friends who, you know, were involved in this wrestling scene. And they're like, yeah. And then after the show, we went to a bar and all these wrestlers were there. We hung out with them. Like in an era where wrestlers and wrestling fans intermingled a lot more than they do now. So it's kind of surreal to me to see, because they've not that they've always been, you know, on my mind, but people who I've always felt like are these, you know, larger than life, like cool guys who like were nice to my dad and his friends and like my uncles, and like mm-hmm. to see them now be recognized in this way. And like just the outpouring of support for them, not just US Express, but Paul Heyman and Bull Nakano and whoever else gets announced in this class. I think it's overwhelmingly positive in a way that Hall of Fame classes sometimes aren't. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm really glad about, is that fans are, you know, even people who had forgotten about these people or didn't know who they were, like they're learning and they're growing that appreciation for people who ultimately none of us would be here if they didn't do what they did.
Absolutely.
So shout out to them.
Bull Nakano is also obviously face paint. I was a huge thing into that. Yeah. So the whole blue down the face, the hair, I don't know how you can, how do you do that? Are you upside down and your hairspray in your hair? I don't know how you do that. But then also being a badass female wrestler in a time where female wrestling was, you know, respected, but it was not paid.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
And I think when it comes to female legends and like people who were active in women's wrestling and were really pushing hard for not even just equality in wrestling, just respect, like just the basic human respect in wrestling, all of them should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if they never won a world title. I think every women's wrestler from that era until I would say even now, I think women are still kind of in the same fight. But it takes a lot of guts to go into an industry that's so heavily dominated by men. And like wrestling back then, it was dangerous. Like there were, you know, there were drugs, there was violence, there was, you know, you all have heard the stories. We don't need to go into it. But like to be a woman and to like have the balls to go into that space and assert yourself and, you know, work for your space and work to be treated even not as an equal, as someone who's worthy of being a wrestler and of someone who can bring something valuable to wrestling. I think Bull Nakano, I think Awesome Kong, I think China, I think all of these people, like we don't give them enough props. Like I think the women's revolution of, you know, a few years ago, we kind of looked to that as like, okay, this is the moment where it all changed. And it's important. Don't get me wrong. I think it is important. But I also think we don't talk enough about the women from like decades ago who were doing this work and suffering so hard under this like oppressive male regime. And then I think even the women of the Divas era, I think people don't recognize how hard they were pushing. Like, you really do have to recognize that like it wasn't a linear shot from like divas to women's wrestling. Not that there's anything wrong with divas, but like if there's no Bull Nakano, right, and there's no sort of the pioneers of women's wrestling for WWE, mind you, I don't want people to think that I'm like US centric for WWE, then you don't get anybody else. Like WWE wasn't going to like out of the goodness of their heart like treat women with respect. Like there's just the people who were like the people who were in charge, guys, like they were just not going to be come to that conclusion on their own. Like it's, and this is the case in so many industries where women are the ones who kind of have to confront, you know, patriarchy or confront oppression on their own.
Absolutely.
Like, no one's going to hold their hand and pull them up. So this is another inductee that I think is like long overdue, and also I think so super important for, you know, people of today learning about the history of wrestling and the people who were involved and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, she's only 56 years old. Like in the grand scheme of life, and like just knowing, wow, she started so young, but also 56, there are still people wrestling at 56. Yeah. I don't want them to, but it's not old.
No.
So
it really isn't. And I think it really does say a lot that so many active women's wrestlers now in WWE and, you know, other promotions, they saw this news and it affected them deeply. Yeah. And they were like the outpour of like, you know, I was inspired by Bull Nakano in this way. Like Beth Phoenix, of course, is the most obvious. She, you know, did the whole Bull Nakano tribute gear and everything. Mm-hmm. But people who maybe you didn't even think about, because women's wrestlers, they watch women's wrestling and they learn from women's wrestling. So that's like the I hate the term unsung heroes, because like I feel like it like delineates heroes into a role where they're unsung and it's somehow morally better. But that's for another show. But she's what, like, there's so many, I could list dozens and dozens who I think inspired women's wrestling today and like inspired wrestling in general. Like, I think there's no women in wrestling. There's a lot that doesn't happen for women or for men or for tag teams or for whoever. So this is another inductee that I think is just incredible. And like, we don't know who else is going to be inducted. But I think like this is a super, super strong start.
I mean, they usually do a tag team. They usually do like a main one, which we know is Paul Heyman. They usually do a woman. It'll be interesting who else they induct. There are plenty of people to induct. They should induct more than one woman. Mm-hmm. Just saying. But I think they should do a faction or another, you know, China, I think, is long overdue. So
yeah,
that was not a very subtle
no. But and I also think if China getting inducted would it would mean a lot in any time, but I think with Triple H being in charge now, yeah, I think like that's a great show of respect. And I think China should have been in the Hall of Fame 15 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
There's so many others too. Like, there's so many people who have just been forgotten. Like, when people talk about WWE history, it's almost like they go Hulk Hogan straight to Stone Cold and then straight to John Cena. And then that's it. Like, there's so many other people who are there who I think should be recognized.
Absolutely. Well, that's on that. Right.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Oh my gosh, I've had so much fun. What the heck? Have you all had fun? Yeah.
I had so much fun.
I'm just very excited for this season of wrestling. We're coming into the home stretch for WrestleMania weekend, which, you know, there's a Ring of Honor show, there's a whole bunch of indie shows. TNA is in full force. Absolutely excited about wrestling, what's happening. Excited about matches already being built for Dynasty. Hello. Yes. We talked about Will Ospreay. Just being perfectly shoehorned into that place. That I'm not saying, well, I am saying when Kenny Omega left because he's ill, right? That I feel like there was a big hole in wrestling in AEW. And I think that Will Ospreay has just shoehorned right into that spot. Not that I'm saying that he and Kenny Omega are interchangeable. We can argue about that on a different day. But which I think that both you and I are on the same Kenny Omega train. So, but I absolutely love seeing Will Ospreay being showcased in this capacity, getting all the matches, and just having that banger of a match versus, oh my gosh, on Wednesday. Sorry, but those are my final thoughts. I'm excited about this season of wrestling that's coming up. We just had a fantastic Revolution pay-per-view. We're just going to keep going on. So
yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been this excited about wrestling since 2021. So,
yeah, wrestling is cool again. Like, I think WWE is doing WWE really well. I've made it known that it's like not necessarily my taste in a lot of ways, but like they're killing it. They're doing really great. AEW is back in the swing of things after a rough year last year, and I think the build from Dynasty to Double or Nothing to Forbidden Door, like that stretch is going to be just disgustingly good, especially with the roster they have. Like they have so many matches to get through. And like whenever Kenny Omega comes back, I'm not saying he's coming back soon, guys. I am just
diverticulitis is pretty serious.
Yeah. So whenever he's ready to come back, like he's coming back into an AEW that all of a sudden has Ospreay and Okada in it, his two biggest career rivals.
Oh my gosh. We didn't even talk about Okada. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Okada.
Okay. Last thought about this. So we all knew that he's going to AEW. And if you didn't, if you thought he was going to WWE, you don't read the same things I do. So, but the moment that coin dropped, that noise, that sound, tears. I just cry at every wrestling show. If you know me, anytime I hear Kurt Angle's theme, instant tears. Anytime I hear Eddie Kingston's theme, instant tears. Okada's theme, coin drop, sobbed.
It's so cool.
And I love that he came out and he became a heel. Like that was like so perfectly aligned. And if you know the being the elite lore of Okada wearing the Young Bucks gear, it's so good.
He's such a goofball. And also AW put up also real quick, Kyle with a super chat. Good afternoon. All the best to you both and Kenny Omega. Yes, Kenny Omega, if you ever want to come up, he's streaming now on Twitch video games. If you ever want to come on the show and talk about video games, I'm also stepping my feet into the video game space. I never played video games as a kid because I wasn't allowed. Oh. But now I'm an adult and I'm playing some video games. I'm playing Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm playing
You're a gamer. You game.
I'm learning. I'm learning. I haven't played Street Fighter yet, which I know is what Kenny mostly plays on Twitch. But you know, if he wants to come here and talk about video games, we'd welcome him.
Him and Mike Jabaley were on the other day, and I was like, this is so weird that because here's the thing. My partner is very into Street Fighter. So I by proxy am into it. I've never played Street Fighter 6, but like every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I'll just watch an hour of this person streaming it on Twitch because why not? So I feel like I know how to play the game, but I've never played the game. So
it's fun to watch. I've never played really any of those fighting games like Street Fighter or Tekken or what have you, but I've watched a lot of them. So they're fun to watch. Sometimes people stream games that like I think are just unfun to watch, and it's I think Call of Duty is one of those games. Oh my god, we're going on such a tangent.
We're starting a war with Call of Duty fans over now.
If I'm watching someone stream Call of Duty, it's a woman, and that's it. I'll just leave it at that.
So I stream on Twitch, although I haven't streamed in quite some time. But I play The Sims. So
I love The Sims.
If you want me to keep playing The Sims on stream, I just get so self-conscious because there's so many good streamers that I'm like, what do I have to contribute? But if you want me to do that, let me know down in the comments or like send me a message because I'm just nervous. I'm just shy.
I love The Sims. Oh my God, we are so derailed. Back to Okada. AEW put up a video where Okada was just being like super goofy. And like, I genuinely get the impression that Okada is having the time of his life.
Absolutely.
Like, he is a goofy heel he's still like the final boss Okada, but he's also a young buck, but he's also a goofball. And he's also like just having fun beating up guys and no selling and like just being a monster. Being a menace and being a monster. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Okada needs to be in AEW. And I'm so, so excited. I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to, when Kenny Omega comes back, they're going to, Ospreay's on the list. Okada has to be on the list. Jay White has to be on the list. Like all these unresolved New Japan things, because when Kenny left New Japan, he gave the keys to the kingdom to those three, and they followed him to AEW like little goobers. So, so now it's like, New Japan is suffering. I think we all know that the situation in New Japan, but I'm so excited about all of this. And I guess that'll be my final thought, is that Okada is a goofball, but also, and what does that mean where it's like, looks like a cinnamon roll could kill you? That's Okada. That's Okada.
Oh my gosh, we didn't get to talk about the Will Ospreay Takeshita. Sorry, my brain blanked. Takeshita, this hour is so asleep. Good. That match, brutal. It's so good, and I love violence, so give it to me. I'm probably gonna go rewatch it while I go clean the kitchen or something. So,
oh my goodness. Also, Kyle says, I'm sitting here going, give me Okada versus Swerve.
Oh my,
get it. I think we're gonna go. We are like so off course, but I think it's gonna go Swerve. Oh well, Joe to Swerve, Swerve to Okada.
Yeah, Okada
to Osprey to Omega to Hangman.
Yeah. Give me that pipeline. Let's go.
Any variation of that pipeline works, which is like wild to think that you have so many guys that they could just be world champion.
I know.
It'd be good. AEW is like, it's so good right now.
I know.
I'm so excited. Do you have anything that you want to plug before we wrap up?
I'll just plug my social media. You can find me at _queerauntie. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. TikTok though is like for my outfits. Like I like my outfits. So if you want to go see my outfits, or I talk about like trauma. So if you like that, I'm a little bit more authentic over there. But you can always find me on Thursdays over at our local establishment talking about Ring of Honor. You can find me here every Sunday. Thank you guys so much for coming for our first episode. You can always participate in predictions every week. Find me on Twitter and I'll be talking about it. If you want to be part of my Discord, where we just talk about predictions and fantasy book wrestling, send me a message. We'll get you in there. Let's go. Let's predict. Come on.
But yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah, listen, I am so glad to be doing this show, but I'm even more glad to be doing it with Collins, because like we are so similar. We just vibe.
We vibe.
And I think you guys could tell from this episode that the show, it's going to be unhinged. It's going to be unpredictable. We might get distracted and never talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
You never know, but I think that's like the value of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, some people have followed me because I was the crying person when Adam Copeland came to AEW. So if anything, if you want to cry and, you know, let us be the leaders of crying, come follow us.
Period. You can follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. Listen, I'm so annoying, but like,
no, you're not.
The last few days have been really crazy for me on Twitter. I'm going to be honest, guys. But you know what? I share a lot of thoughts about a lot of things. You can follow me on Twitter. And then also, Wrestling Made Me Cry. We're going to be live every Sunday, 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. 9 a.m. Not 9 p.m.
Don't show up at 9 p.m.
a.m. Pacific. There's a big time difference between me and Colin, so like
3 hours. It's great. My day job, I go in at 6 a.m. because things are, I have to be ready for East Coast stuff, so I'm up. I'm an early bird. So
Kyle says, Kylie, your tweets are so relatable though.
Absolutely.
I just kind of like, I just accepted that no matter what I say, because I'm associated with Fightful, that people are going to be mean to me. So like, one, I say what I want to say now. I don't care.
Yeah.
And two, if you're mean to me, I will be mean back. I don't care.
We match energy here.
For my Twitter.
Yeah.
That's the rules. If you want to be on my Twitter, you got to obey my rules. Wrestling Made Me Cry. Yes. It's going to be a much more positive space. If you are mean to me here, I will ban you from the channel.
Absolutely.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about just some fun, good time stuff, you know? And like, look, we had a whole thing planned and we talked about a bunch of other things. And that's like, you have to be here, really.
Yeah.
So every Sunday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, wherever you fall in there otherwise, that's 5 p.m. in the UK.
Oh my gosh.
12 midnight in Australia, I think. I'm not good with time zones. So that's not why you're here. You're here for my wrestling takes and my jokes. So thank you guys so much for being here for our first ever episode.
I know.
I was a little bit nervous coming back after Tag Talk ended. I took a really big hiatus to get my life in order, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad Colin is here.
It took me 6 months to get you, right? Because Wrestle Dream was October.
Yeah.
It took me 6 months to get you. Although we had to convince me to come back to podcasting too. So that's another.
It was an arduous journey, guys. It was a
yes.
We were, it was an uphill battle, but then one day we were like, let's just rip the band-aid off.
Let's just do it.
And you know what? I'm glad we did. This was so much fun. Even more fun than I thought it was going to be when I was thinking about the show.
Well, I'm excited. Next week I'll be on location, so it won't be in this lovely space, but I'll log in and I will jump in and we'll cry about wrestling.
Hopefully we have I think we're going to have good stuff. I think this, especially because we're building to WrestleMania, we're building to Dynasty. It's going to be an absolute blast. But all that being said, thank you guys so much for joining us. And for being active in the chat, and thank you for everybody who submitted a super chat, and thank you to Drew, who shared a picture of bald Adam Cole.
I wasn't going to share it, but it's really disturbing. I'll go ahead and retweet it. So
I retweeted it too. So you guys go to my Twitter to see that. It was really, I saw I had a Twitter notification and it was bald Adam Cole. I love it. More of those. More bald Adam Cole's. If you want to send me a bald Kyle O'Reilly, I'd be into that.
Bald Matt Taven, bald put them Matt all Taven, together.
Bald Wardlow.
Yeah.
Anybody you want to make bald, I'm into it. So send it my way. That being said, thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday, this time.
Yeah, this time.
Yeah. Be here.
9 a.m.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.